Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
Welcome into the QB's Go Show. This is episode 54, brought to you by the Five Folk at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. That's K-I-S-T. And as always, here to talk with me about quarterbacks around the world. It's quarterback one in your hearts, in your dreams. He is Mark Schofield. Mark, the new mode for Call of Duty just dropped, that warfare thing. Do you want to stop recording and go get a couple rounds in? Maybe a quick nooner?
I think a quick nooner might be in play here, although I do have to download the update for it. I've probably got like 122 gigabytes worth of updates to apply to that game, so I'm going to have to hardwire it to the router to get it done quickly. And yeah. I think it's probably a good thing to do to prepare us for what may be coming. Mm. I mean, it does certainly seem like the world has ended around us. And I was all prepared. This is our first show since I was out in Indy for the Combine. And I was going to do a nice little historical tour of Indianapolis. I thought that would be nice. But I think given the world we are in right now, it's important to talk about the 1918 influenza pandemic. Mm. Okay? Because this was the most severe pandemic in recent history. It was caused by an H1N1 virus with genes of an avian origin. There is not, and this is from the CDC, there's no universal consensus regarding where the virus originated, but it did spread worldwide during 1918 and 1919. In the United States, it was first identified in military personnel in the spring of 1918. It is estimated that 500 million people, or one-third of the world's population, became infected with the virus. The number of deaths was estimated to be about 50 million worldwide, with 675,000 occurring in the U.S. alone. And the timeline for this is terrifying, because in April of 1918, the first mention of influenza appears in April 5th weekly public health report. It informs officials of 18 severe cases and 3 deaths in Haskell, Kansas. Now that's April of 1918. By September, you're talking about a pandemic. So just a couple of months. Between September and November, a second wave of flu peaks in the U.S. It is highly fatal, responsible for most of the deaths attributed to the pandemic. By the end of September, there are more than 14,000 flu cases at Camp Devens. One quarter of the total camp resulted in 757 deaths. You're talking about Philadelphia hit hard with the pandemic flu virus. More than 500 corpses await burial. This is in October of 1918, some for more than a week. Cold storage plants are used as temporary morgues. A manufacturer of trolley cars donates 200 packing crates for use as coffins. Like, that's some dark stuff that the world was dealing with in 1918. Now, I'm saying this because I'm trying to get the people to calm down just a little bit, okay? You know, the other night I was watching John Oliver, and he was trying to, like, you know, outline how people should be feeling about the current coronavirus. And he said, on a scale of licking subway poles and drinking bleach, like, you should try to be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously wash your hands, you know, take care of yourself. If you don't feel well, stay home if you can. If you can't, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
But try to take care of yourself your best you can. Luckily, you and I get to stay home all the time.
Yeah.
I can't go out and infect the world, which is a good thing.
Unfortunately, I work from home, which is great for me, but my wife works at a hospital. So anybody that comes in there that might be feeling the little sniffles, she's kind of exposed to that, and then she's bringing that right home to me. Plus, you know, daycare is just
daycare and kids. It's a little petri dish of germs and infestation with all those. Look, I love my children, obviously.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be the new tagline for the show. Our marriages are fine and we love our children. But they are little carrier monkeys.
Yeah.
They are little diseased carrier monkeys. And I will say this, my wife is well. Now, she doesn't work in a hospital. She's a lawyer. But she is also, and I joke and call her this all the time, she's a carrier monkey too. Like, the three of them, my wife and my two kids, they never get sick for the most part. but I always get it, like without fail. And perhaps a great bit of foreshadowing, back in like November, I made a bulk purchase of hand sanitizer on Amazon. Oh, nice. I got like crates of the stuff delivered because I was like, look, I am always sick every winter, like multiple times. I can't do it anymore. So I've got the stuff everywhere, like in every room. I've been like a fanatic about like wash it and sanitize my hands all the time. Now that's looking like a bright move by me.
Yeah.
Because you can't find the stuff anymore. I went to a CVS yesterday for other things, just cleaned out. Can't find hand sanitizer anyway. Babes on Broad, though, shout out to them with the hand sanitizer recipe.
Mm.
So BGN Radio, helping the people, saving lives.
I love
fantastic
it.
Work by them.
Yeah, I mean, we got to do everything our can. Our families are basically Mongols, right? And yeah. Something you would ask me, like, what great figures like would survive this? I immediately thought of the 1346 Siege of Kaffa, which is now in Crimea, modern-day Crimea, where, you know, the Mongols under Genghis Khan were slinging plague-infested bodies and poop over the walls. So that's basically what our family is doing to us. So shout out to them.
Shout out to them. It was funny. We were going to potentially talk about historical figures that could have handled this better, you know, or well, and historical figures that might not have. And I think Genghis Khan was like immediately at the top of my list too. Like without question. Like that's the guy.
He would know how to weaponize it for sure.
Right.
So, all right. Now that that's out of the way and everyone's all cheery and hopeful.
Seriously, happy Wednesday, people.
We're all going to die. You recently wrote a massive piece for USA Today's The Touchdown Wire. Congrats on the new gig, by the way. Couldn't be happier for you. This is a massive article detailing one must-have free agent for every team as we approach the legal tampering period that starts noon March 16th. Now, normally, this being an Eagles feed, we would talk about you plugging the Eagles with Byron Jones. I think that's been covered ad nauseum on this feed as we approach this tampering period. And this is a QB show, a QB SCO show, in fact. So we're going to talk about quarterbacks today. And there were some interesting fits that I figured we could talk about on here. And the first that stood out was Tom Brady to the Indianapolis Colts. Indeed. Mark, where do we stand with the Brady saga, and why are you running Brady out of town in New England?
I'm definitively running Tom Brady out of town because he's washed it over the hill. I'm not saying that, but I am saying this. I look at this from two perspectives. If I'm Tom Brady, how I win right now in the National Football League is with my mind. And so I need to go to a place if I am going to leave to New England. I still think he ends up coming back. I'm starting to feel, and we're starting to see reports that the market for Tom Brady out there in free agency might not be as strong as we originally thought it was going to be. But if I'm Brady and I'm thinking I want to go somewhere else, I want to go to a situation where there are a couple of things in place for me so I can step in and win right away. Like, I don't have a window here. It's win now for me. And first and foremost, I want to go to an offense, a play style, a scheme that suits what I do best. And under Frank Reich, this has been a West Coast dominant offense that is predicated on yardage after the catch, that is predicated on the quarterback reading the defense, getting the ball out quickly, making the right decision with the football, getting the ball out on time, in rhythm, well placed, so the receivers have a chance to get yardage after the catch. And I look at places like the Raiders and places like the Colts as systems where that would work. And so there's another aspect to this. If I'm Tom Brady, I've spent the past two decades playing in Foxborough, in December, in January. I want to go to a place that's like nice and climate controlled, and I can get eight games indoors in a dome and have some nice, you know, sterilized environments to play the game of football. And so that's why I sort of put Indianapolis in the mix. And then finally, and maybe this is doing some psychoanalysis that we, and certainly I'm nowhere near qualified to do, but if I'm Tom Brady, the idea of going to Indianapolis, where Peyton Manning played, where you had that great rivalry with Peyton Manning, the team that jump-started Deflategate, the idea of going there and perhaps winning the Super Bowl and perhaps beating New England along the way, like that seems to me enticing. You might say, why would Brady do that? Well, let's remind the gentle listeners who Tom Brady is. I've said this before. I've joked about it before. If you get into an elevator with Tom Brady, depending on how many floors you're on the elevator ride with him, you're probably going to hear from him that he was picked 199 in the draft, right? And you might say, oh, that's overblown. What if he just named his film production company? 199 Productions. Yeah. This is a guy with the ultimate chip on his shoulder. And so I'm sure that at some level, the idea of winning the Super Bowl in Peyton Manning's uniform and, you know, that Lucas Oil Stadium against perhaps Bill Belichick is enticing to him.
Yeah.
And you look at this. Say you drop Tom Brady into that offense, you know, and say at pick 13, now they don't have to go quarterback. You know, they could draft – they could double down at 13 and 34 with a wide receiver and another wide receiver. Mm. And suddenly you're looking at maybe a Henry Ruggs, a T.Y. Hilton, and a Denzel Mims. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady throwing to those guys next year.
I like that.
Are they that far away in the AFC South?
I don't think so. I think the AFC South is wide open.
Yeah.
And Frank Reich is hell of a coach.
And so that's a path, I think, for Tom Brady. And that's why I think the Colts are sort of the ideal fit for him. Does it happen? I don't think so. You know, I was on with Matt Danley last night. He does Stampede Cast, Colts podcast. We talked for an hour, and everybody keeps thinking it's Phillip Rivers out there. Mm. And everybody keeps thinking if Brady goes somewhere, it's Tennessee or the Raiders. I just think if you're Brady, go to Indianapolis. Play those 8 home games in a dome. You know, win in Indy. Like, they have 3 top 45 picks.
Our mutual friend John Ledyard recently dropped his battle plan for the Bucs on PewterReport.com, and one of his moves was to trade O.J. Howard to the Colts, which would allow Frank Reich to continue to lean on 12 personnel sets that, you know, with Eric Ebron hitting the market. And I think that makes a lot of sense to pair with a guy like Brady. And understand, too, Brady's arm may be waning. He may be a tad washed, but Frank Reich has experience with this and did well crafting an offense suited to fit Andrew Luck as he was trying to regain strength in his shoulder. So this checks a lot of boxes for me. Conversely, Chris Ballard, his comments on Brady at the Combine were a bit tepid, saying, quote, "I'm not going to comment on Brady. Great career, though," unquote. And that's not exactly like the way you compliment perhaps the greatest of all time if you're trying to bring him into the building, right?
Yeah, I mean, that, and I don't know if he's trying to avoid the whole tampering thing.
Right.
You know, because we had some incidents where people at the Combine asked some questions that tried to get people in trouble.
Yeah.
There was a rather famous incident with, obviously, the Jeffrey Okuda, the sloppy question. That same guy asked Howie Roseman if he was going to trade for Darius Slay.
That's right.
Like, first question out of the gate, I was standing like 2 feet from the guy. I was kind of stunned. And Howie handled it perfectly. He's like, "Are you trying to get me found guilty of tampering?" Like, it was just an incredible moment. But so maybe Ballard's trying to avoid that. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like Brady is in the mix for them. But I love, John, the idea of you acquire O.J. Howard as well.
Yeah.
But, and you're right, Frank Reich, when Luck came back from his shoulder injury, you know, I remember the first game he played was against the Eagles. Mm. It was a rainy, poor weather day. And you thought, well, maybe it's just the elements where it seems like Luck can't throw the ball more than 10 yards downfield. But that's how they started that first half of the season, whether it was Luck's shoulder, worries about protecting him, a combination thereof, or the scheme generally, they were focusing on the short areas of the field and getting the ball out quickly. That's Tom Brady's game right now.
Yeah.
So I think it could fit. But in the end, I do think Brady comes back to Foxborough because I do think that the market – people are starting to realize, like, look, you've got all these other quarterbacks out there in the potentially in free agency or via the draft. Yeah, he might be the greatest of all time, but you might have a 2-year window at most, and you're still talking about a 43-year-old quarterback. This is uncharted territory. Mm. We've seen the end, the cliff, and all that stuff. If you give Tom Brady, you know, $60 million guaranteed over the next 2 years, and his arm falls off a cliff next September, then where are you?
Right.
Like, who's the 2022 class?
Yep.
Like, I'm not there yet. We'll be there soon, but I'm not there yet.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because, I mean, like, when Brett Favre was with the Jets, and, like, the first half of the season's looking great, and then he tears something, and he looks just awful for the rest of it, and as an age thing, and too, so.
Peyton Manning as well. Yep. Like, you get, and I know Tom Brady, the pliability and all that stuff. I'm a man. I'm 43. I'm 7 months older than him. If I tweak an ankle, I'm down for 3 weeks. Like, the injuries and the recovery period from injuries, those are legitimate concerns with a quarterback of his age.
Let's move on to another guy here. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears and what they should do.
Oh boy.
Because you had a link that I really liked. And you said that they should wisely bring in some competition for Titch Mabrisky, Mediocre Mitch, Slumpy Mitch, whatever name you want to call him.
Stumpy Mitch.
And that competition would come in the form of Marcus Mariota. And I got to tell you, I love this fit. I know they're a bit cash strapped in Chicago right now and have other areas to fill. But if you don't have a quarterback, You don't have anything in the NFL. And I like the prospect of taking a swing on Mariota and trying to revive his career there in Chicago. It makes a ton of sense, Mark. You want to elaborate on that?
What Chicago is lacking right now from the quarterback position is somebody that can just check the boxes. You know, when we've talked on this show, the idea of a Baker versus a chef when it comes to the quarterback position, right? And the Bakers, the Kirk Cousins of the world, the guys that just, they will go step by step by step in the re-progression and they'll just run the recipe. They need that because Matt Nagy's dialing stuff up and Mitch just can't execute it on time and in rhythm. And yes, part of it is there's only so many ways you can dress up mirrored Carl Flack because that's all Mitch seems to handle right now. But even on those designs, the ball is coming out late and it's another offense that is predicated on yardage after the catch. And if you don't fulfill your end of the bargain of that equation as the quarterback and you're turning – cushion situations on a curl route into a contested catch situation because the ball is coming out late, the offense isn't going to work. And so they need somebody that can just check the boxes on a play-by-play basis. And I think that Mariota can do that for them. And in the write-up, I linked to a piece that the wise Eric Stoner wrote when Mariota was coming out, describing him as a task-oriented quarterback. Mm. Like he is somebody that will just go through the steps on a given play. And if the read is the curl to the sit to the flat, he will do that. That's what they need. Another guy, and this is not a free agent, but a rookie, is Jake Fromm. Mm. Like, I think Jake Fromm is not everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody's going to like Jake Fromm. Not every team is going to like Jake Fromm. But if you drop Jake Fromm or Marcus Mariota into Chicago right now, you probably have a better quarterback than what they're rolling with Mitchell Trubisky. And I think Jake Fromm might have three teams where he could be a successful NFL quarterback. But in Chicago, for example, he could be an Alex Smith type guy who's just going to get you what you need on offense, not get the defense behind the eight ball, and they could be good enough to contend in that division with a Fromm or with a Mariota. So, yeah, I mean, I think either of those would make sense for Chicago, which means they'll probably triple down on Mitch.
If Mitch Trubisky went to contend with P.J. Walker in the XFL, who would land out? Who would come out on top? he's having a great year.
P.J. Walker is like I'm starting to wonder when Walker gets a gig in the NFL.
Right. Yeah.
Like you look at some of the throws, the accuracy, the mobility in the pocket, the placement, the arm slots, the arm angles. Like that's all the stuff that we're now talking about when we evaluate quarterbacks. Like we've moved away from the. Can he read defenses? Can he run a pro-style offense to the – can he create? Can he throw off platform, off structure? Can he just read leverage? That's the stuff that P.J. Walker's shown he can do at a high level. Yes, it's the XFL. But here's something to think about. You know, as GMs are starting to talk themselves into guys like Josh Allen and Jordan Love, guys that come from lesser competition, the thinking seems to be that, oh, well, yeah, he's playing with bad talent around him and he's struggling at times. But when he gets to us, we get great talent we can put around him. So they're going to be okay. They're going to be raised by the talent around them. I think that's a conversation you can make about P.J. Walker is, yeah, okay, it's the XFL. But when we get him into our team, when we get him to our system, he can excel. Yeah. And so that's something to think about as we start thinking about P.J. Walker getting into a camp, which I think he's earned by now.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for P.J. Walker coming to the NFL to a city near you.
When we XFL takes here, baby.
That's right. When we come back here on the QB Sco Show, we're going to take a look at some more free agent landing spots. That's coming up next right after this.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury. The art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And we are back here on the QB Sco Show, episode 54, SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation, bringing it to you. Michael Kist here with Mark Schofield. We are talking quarterback, free agent landing spots, maybe some XFL talk as well. Let's travel to Carolina. You think in your piece for the Touchdown Wire that Matt Rhule should add to the quarterback room there with Teddy Bridgewater, who after missing the entire 2016 season after that horrific injury, has since revitalized his career in New Orleans, which included going 5-0 as a starter last year, filling in for Drew Brees. He had a 67.9% completion rate, 9 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions, 7.1 yards per attempt, and a quarterback rating of 99.1. And I really like the connection you make here, because when I was pounding the table for Joe Brady from LSU to be the next Eagles offensive coordinator back in December of last year, I noted that he did have NFL experience with the Saints coaching staff learning their passing game concepts. Now, he's the OC for the Panthers now and has worked with Bridgewater before in New Orleans, so he'll have a solid understanding of his game and how he fits within the structure of what he wants to do. So you don't need to sell me on the move, but looking big picture, why does it make sense for Carolina here?
I mean, I think it makes sense for Carolina, even if they go in a number of different directions. Like, even if they decide to bring Cam Newton back, which I don't know if they're going to go down that road. Matt Rhule has said the right things about Cam Newton. You're going to want a solid backup behind him. And are we convinced that that's Will Greer? I don't think so. I know they just brought back Kyle Allen on an extended deal, but are we convinced that that's Kyle Allen? I don't think so. So you're going to want somebody that can come in and step into the lineup if Newton goes down again. That's issue number one. Issue number two, do they move on from Newton? Because if you look at the offense we expect them to install, this Joe Brady type offense that is, you know, primarily rooted in West Coast concepts, you've got some RPO stuff in there. You've got a lot of quick game stuff. You've got some air raid stuff mixed in there as well. You've got a lot of empty protection stuff. That's the reason for the rise of Burrow. I think 83% of their LSU yep. route concepts last year were five-man schemes. That's going to expose your quarterback to hits. And so, is Cam Newton the best fit for that? I think he's been at his best in more of a vertical-based passing offense, the Norv Turner stuff that they were running for the past couple of seasons. So the move to Brady might sort of signal that they're looking to get away from Cam Newton. And then if you are, who's going to run your offense? Greer? Allen? No. You want somebody else, somebody that's shown that that's an ideal system for them. And I think that gets you to Teddy Bridgewater. And it's more than just the connection between Bridgewater and Brady and their time together in New Orleans. It's the fact that if you look at what he was asked to do when he stepped in for Brees, a lot of it was taking what the defense gave him. Checkdowns, getting the running backs involved, quick throws, on time, in rhythm. Like you mentioned, what was his yards per attempt? Like 7.1?
Right.
Like designed deep shots, sure, but most of the stuff was at or near the line of scrimmage. And that's going to be the offense that the Panthers are running. And so I look at that situation and I think Bridgewater might command a big time deal. But if I'm the Panthers, I think he's an ideal fit for what we're doing. That's, you know, other guys might be Brees or Brady in terms of the offense of the runner or, you know, Joe Burrow. I don't think you're getting to one to get Joe Burrow. Bridgewater could be that guy.
Last one, Mark, because you sold me on Bridgewater there. Last one. One team you didn't give a quarterback that is certainly exploring every possibility that they can, because they're not sold on their current situation, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh boy, we are going to have discourse.
They have a decision to make about that position there. And I bring this up because I live near the Tampa Bay area and I listen to their sports radio in the morning. And even just this morning, I've heard a lot of talk of them from their callers about the pipe dream of not only Tom Brady, but also the probably more realistic possibility of Philip Rivers. So yep. Let's stick with Rivers here because I think that's the more realistic option. Mark, you recently researched a piece and we were talking about the deep passing stats for Rivers from year to year. And what we saw was a substantial drop off in his ability to push the ball downfield. Now, an Arians vertical offense that was at the top of the league in average intended air yards last year. To me, Rivers is just a washed Jameis Winston. So I don't really think this is a match made in heaven, but where do you come down on all that?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at his deep passing numbers last year, I mean, you're talking about a guy that was 12th amongst qualified passers, you know, 50% of the throws in adjusted completion percentage, you know, with an adjusted completion percentage of just 41.8. Five touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Like, the numbers were ugly. You also, when you sort of think about that Arian style of offense, you're going to get pressured more, right? The route concepts take longer, so you're going to sort of face some heat in the pocket. Rivers struggled there as well. He was just 10th in adjusted completion percentage when he was under pressure. Again, 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, adjusted completion percentage of 65.3. Like, those are average at best numbers, the deep passing even worse. I look back at 2018, okay? 2018, Rivers was great both deep passing and under pressure. Under pressure, he was the 5th best quarterback in the league, according to PFF, in 2018 with an adjusted completion percentage of 71.6 behind Cousins, Breeze, Mariota, and Ryan. And when it comes to deep passing, he was great there as well. Adjusted completion percentage in the deep game of 46.3, 8th in the league, an NFL quarterback rated of 90.7. And so he has it in him to be a deep passing quarterback. His entire career has been spent with the Chargers. Obviously, Coryell roots there. They've had some guys like Wilson Hunt and others that have come through with sort of a West Coast theme to it. But he really sort of cut his teeth under Schottenheimer, a ball-controlled vertical passing game. And I think if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're at 14 in this draft. You're not going to get a guy, unless somebody falls or you trade up, that I think is ready to start week one. Yeah. You're just not. And so you need somebody that can be a bridge of some kind. How long that remains to be seen, whether it's a game, 4 games, 6 games, 8 games. I think Rivers can do that for you for a short stretch of time. He doesn't need to give you 16. He doesn't need to give you the full slate. But I think he can come in and run this offense well enough, particularly when you think you've got Chris Godwin. You've got Michael Evans. Like, you've got guys that can help you out down the field. You might still have O.J. Howard. Who knows? You've got Cameron Brate. You've got some good tight ends. You can construct enough of an offense around Rivers where he could be carried to, you know, your bye week, and then you make the switch. And so I think from that perspective, Rivers makes sense.
Mark, any other free agent landing spots that you're looking at here before we hit legal tapering, or are those the main ones? Because we can get out of here and go hit the sticks if you want.
We could get out of here and go hit the sticks. I mean, I think the only other sort of quarterback situation to watch is, and this pains me to say it, but Andy Dalton.
Mm.
Like, and he's not necessarily a free agent, but, you know, you're going to have to trade for him. But you look at a potential trade to, say, a Chicago. I mean, I've been spending more time than I care to admit trying to figure out the quarterback situation in Chicago. Mm. And maybe that just speaks volumes about where I am as a person, as a father, as a husband. And my marriage is fine. I love my kids. But I just, if I'm Ryan Pace, I am throwing everything I can at the quarterback position. I am trading for Dalton, signing Mariota, and drafting Jake Fromm and say, all right, we got 4 now. Now fight to the death.
Yeah.
And give me somebody that can win, because you've got a window that's slamming shut. And you've also got to compensate for the fact that you traded up to draft Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
And so you've got to figure out this problem. You've got to get the best and the brightest. You've got to have everybody in there just thinking things up. You've got to have backup plans for your backup plans for your backup plan, which was the guy you traded up to draft it to. So, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're fired. You're done.
Yeah. You're fired. You're done. You're going to be taking my job, which, I mean, I get it. That's the way the business is. But life goes on, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Mark, thank you so much, brother. Any last words for the gentle listeners before we get out of here?
Have a massive shout out. The one and only Grace Mann.
Grace.
She's doing some WeWorked art for the QB Sco show. She sent me a mock-up. It's looking fantastic. I owe her some photos. Mike, I have to. I didn't want to spring this on you, but she asked for face-up photos of us. So I'm going to send her a photo of you and a photo of me. So I got some stuff from the Senior Bowl. So, Grace, I owe you an email. I'm going to be sending you that stuff. I wanted to drop that on Mike, drop that anvil on its head live here on the show. But, Grace, massive shout-out to you. Please follow Grace on Twitter at hello at Grace Mann Designs, I think is the Twitter at. But give her some love on Twitter. If you have a need for design work, follow her, hit her up. She does great stuff. Can't wait to see what she has in store for us.
Grace is awesome. Big shout out to her.
The huge best. Fan.
Yeah.
And listen, she read The Guns of August.
Wow.
And loved it. Like, we are out here. We got to start the QB Scotia Show book club. But she read Guns of August. She said she loved it. That warmed my heart more than anything else.
So hit us up with your book suggestions, too. Why not? On Twitter. We'll have a discourse. We'll get this book club going.
What else are we going to do in June?
Exactly. That's going to do it for the QB Scotia Show, episode 54. We will catch you next week once everything goes wild in free agency. We'll see you then.
PGN.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.